and we can get going with the one question I only ask on this show, which is, how's life going?
How's life? Right now, it's going okay. Yeah, I guess the quick summary of it is I went to Vegas for a buddy's 21st birthday at the end of April. And as soon as I landed back in California on May like 1st or April 30th, I had tonsillitis.
Oh.
And as soon as tonsillitis let up, I've been dealing with a slipped disc. And so it's just like this really weird batch of health issues that I didn't know that I could have.
Wow.
The most frustrating things, I remember I went to the doctor on like May like 7th or 8th. I was like, yeah, I got this weird pain in my back and, you know, I had a sore throat that doesn't seem to let up with my usual remedies. And the doctor kind of said, it'll go away eventually, giving me no actual, like, medical advice. And I was like, okay, doc, whatever you say. And by the middle of May, I was like, I've had a sore throat for 2.5 weeks. My back's been hurting for 2.5 weeks. And I had my brother's wedding in week and I had my brother's bachelor party last week. And so it's just like, I had to start doing really proactive, like, looking into what to do because everything's been hurting. So I went to the doctor a second time about halfway through May, and the doctor, I did like one of those over the phone visits, you know, and the doctor basically told me, yeah, that first guy you saw was a quack. That man doesn't know what he's talking about. And I was like, that does like, makes me feel a little bit better, but also not much better. And he was like, yeah, because they did a strep throat test on me, and it came back negative. And so the second doctor was like, if that came back negative, then it wasn't a bacterial infection. So all this antibiotic stuff they're giving you, which is good for bacterial infections, isn't going to work. So most likely it's a virus, and you're just going to have to wait it out. I was like, great, thanks. That eventually, you know, let up, and then the slip of disc has just been something in and of its own weird nightmare. I don't know if you've been lucky enough to escape a back pain in your mid to late 20s, but I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend not having back pains before 29, but I've been dealing with it now for like 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's been like super intermittent too. Like, I think my first experience with back pain was Thanksgiving 2020, when I spent an hour hunched over my parents' coffee table in front of their TV, sorting Cards Against Humanity cards, and went to stand up and settle in my back and said, no, you can't go straight right now, dog. And so that was like my first introduction to it. It only lasted, you know, a couple hours, but ever since then, it's just been sprinkling. That's lightest let up. Back pain was like, ooh, you're going to have a slip disc. And I don't even totally understand what a slip disc is, if I'm being totally honest. Did you have any idea what it's like?
The only thing I can imagine is like when you say slip disc, I just imagine in the body, this is a disc that's just slipping away that you have to put back. I don't know. That's like the only thing that could come to my mind. I don't honestly know what
that's
it looks
thing.
Like.
That's exactly what I would picture too. And I guess it's kind of like that and also kind of not like that.
Huh.
Because in my head, and I'm sure it's kind of like, seems like a pretty linear train of thought, is if it's a slipped disc, that means you can just push it back in, right?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
But I've been to, three doctors now and a physical therapist. And all of them are like, yeah, I know, we'll put you on a physical therapy program and they'll have you doing all these stretches and exercises. And so I'm like, you can't just push it back in? Like, apparently, so from my understanding, this has been off of rough Google searches as well as talking to the physical therapist, is that between your vertebrae, there are these like spongy things that basically keep the bones from rubbing into each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do something whack to your back, sometimes those little spongy discs will start to slide out from between the vertebrae. And the way to not do that is to work out until the muscles fit back into place, which seems like BS if you ask me. I would assume that you could just push it in with your finger. But no one's tried that yet. No new doctor said, all right, buddy, pull off your shirt. We're going to push it all back in with his finger, you know. But
I do understand where you're coming from, like the exercise and the stretching, that like having that perfect posture when you have to do those exercise and stretching that kind of does push it back in. That's my understanding of it. But like at the same time, can't like a chiropractor do something and just break my neck and put everything back together?
dude, I asked a physical therapist about the doctors, and I don't know if it's like some weird natural beef that chiropractors have against physical therapists and vice versa. But I was like, yeah, no, I have a couple of friends recommending me to a chiropractor. And the doc was like, or the physical therapist was like, I wouldn't do that, man. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, most people, they either feel better for a couple hours, don't feel better at all, or it makes it worse. And I was like, really? And part of me wonders if that's just like a chiropractor, like a you know, anti-chiropractor thing, or if that's a genuine health thing. And I don't quite know what like the general consensus in the medical community is about chiropractors versus physical therapy. And I was already having like, the only thing that's literally keeping me from doing the chiropractor at this point is, firstly, the physical therapist said no, but secondly, my insurance doesn't cover chiropractors. And so I was like, well, if I have to pay out of pocket for it, then I'm going to stick with the physical therapist says.
Yeah, because I like to think, because with chiropractor, it's like instant, it's supposed to be instant relief. So I could see why it might like over time revert back, while physical therapy is kind of more long term.
Yeah.
So that might be his understanding, but yeah, that might be also beef. Maybe like his roommate was a chiropractor in college and he just had so much beef.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny. So when I was in undergrad, I studied mechanical engineering, and one of the beefs that I was taught through all my classmates was that mechanical engineers don't want anything to do with civil engineers. Why? Honestly, I couldn't tell you, but is it hysterical? I totally subscribe to it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the favorite sayings I heard throughout college was mechanical engineers build weapons while civil engineers build targets. You know, all the fun stuff. Or like, how do you know when a civil engineer is fully invested in the conversation? They look at your shoes instead of the floor. You know, stuff like that. But it was really funny because when I first met my girlfriend, I found that she studied civil engineering at Cal Poly Sloan. And I started going off about all my, you know, civil engineering jokes. And she looked at me like, why do you hate civil engineering so much? And I was like, oh, crap, that's not a beef that I guess her school had. So there I am, like, spouting anti-civil engineering jokes. And she's just confused. I'm like, oh, crap, I don't want to scare this girl away yet.
I get what you mean, because, like, with my school, like, I went through the film department. And I learned, and I didn't know that there was a beef between the film department and the broadcasting department. Like, they would not let each other use their like studios or something. Like, hey, we want to use like the soundboard that you guys have. Like, no, we won't let you do that. You're part of the film department. I'm like, why? Why do you hate each other?
And like, part of it, like in my head, I just continue it just in the vein of jokes, because the jokes are funny. Mm-hmm. But in terms of actual like beef reasons, like I'm not gonna tell a civil engineer no. Actually, like I don't. But like, just the amount of jokes between the two is so funny. What was it? Like, I remember seeing, you remember the Chad versus the Virgin memes, you know, yeah, that have the two. I had one that was the Virgin mechanical engineer versus the Chad civil. And it was, the only one that I remember was on the mechanical side, it said, favorite tool is a caliper. And then on the civil engineer side, it said, favorite tool, the mechanical engineer. I'm like, bro, what the heck? So that was like, probably damn near the epitome of the humor. And I just thought it was so funny. And then as soon as the girl was like, I don't get it, I was like, maybe I should stop. Maybe the beef ends at Sac State and I don't want to perpetuate that with this new relationship, you know? Or at least at the time. I'm still riding off that high of how's life going, you know?
Yeah,
because I had, yeah, sorry.
Sorry, no, I don't mean to cut you off, because this is all you, like, because, like, the last time we kind of spoke was towards the end of high school, I think, for, yeah, like, me, when I was graduating.
Sure, yeah. So that was 20. You graduated 14, right?
Yes.
So I graduated 15. Not Stingers up. Whatever, you should go Panthers. 1-5, 1-5, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I finished Venetia High 2015 just fine. I ended up transferring to, or going to DVC. Which was, loved that campus, loved that school. I know a lot of people ended up going to Solano, but I think I think DVC was probably the best choice for me. I think it was a nice kind of stepping upward point for me in terms of education-wise. I ended up spending 3 years at Diablo Valley College, There I experienced heartbreak as well as I failed two classes, which was something I had never experienced before. And it was super surreal because, you know, growing up, I hadn't, like, you know, I'd had relative ease with most of my classes. I remember graduating high school, both my parents and family being like, oh, yeah, you did it. Ooh. And I was like, yeah, I did it. Graduating high school is easy. Like, there was no, like, you know, sure, I might have stumbled a little bit with one or two classes, but none of it was actually all that difficult. And then I finally get to, you know, college, and I have these two classes that I was actually consistently getting low grades on as well as failing tests. And I was just like, crap. I remember every single time I'd take a test, I'd go and calculate how much I need to get on the final to pass the class. And that's when I learned that I'm way too optimistic. Because I'd be saying, okay, cool. So I got a 60 on the first test. I got a 55 on the second test. And I got a 49 on the third test. So as long as I get an 85 on the final, I can get a C and I'll pass. How the hell am I going to get a B when I've been ranging between low Ds and an F the entire semester? And I don't know where I thought I could pull that off. And of course, I didn't. So I left DVC with two Fs on my transcript. And that was tragic in my brain. But I transferred to good old Sac State, stingers up. That's what I needed to put the thumb pick up for. And I actually, your brother went to Sac State. Still goes to Sac State?
No, he graduated. He still lives in Sac right now doing a job. I can't remember the title off the top of my head, but I know it's in a lab or adjacent to one.
What did he get his degree in?
Chemistry.
Chemistry. I remember seeing Matthew walking between, they had like a little like pedestrian pathway beneath some train tracks leading from like Sac proper into campus. I think I'd see him every so often walking to campus my first year at Sac State. And I probably like, you know, I saw him in high school, but there's so many people, and I probably would have ridden past him thinking, oh, that kid looks like Dominic's brother. But what sealed the deal was he had that bead lizard on his backpack that you guys got from like from some, you know, south of the border, like Baja California vacation. And I was like, that is Matt, you know, skirt off my back. You're like, Matt! Yo! Oh, man. When did he graduate?
Matthew, if you're listening to this, sorry. 2020? Maybe? No.
Recently.
Recently, yes. That's a great answer.
And he's doing some lab stuff also in Sac?
Yes, he found a job. I forgot what part of Sacramento, but I think towards like the actual city area.
Okay, yeah, like downtown.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really great. He likes it. Great company. Not company, but great employees. Coworkers, that's the word.
It's good.
Great coworkers and everything. And he's enjoying it. It's not too far from his place. It's about, I think, 10-15 minute drive.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and he loves Sacramento ever since like he went up there for school. And I know where you're talking about where he was walking from. He brought his bike to that area, park it, and then walk that area to his class.
Yeah. I remember, so I moved to I lived in an apartment complex about a mile off campus. And it was like literally catty corner to a Target. And I literally just ride my bike from there to campus every day. Dude, I was so toned back then. Oh my gosh, I miss my college bod before COVID ruined me physically. I would ride my bike every day, campus and back, and sometimes a couple times a day because I forgot something at home or I wanted to grab something. And I just rode my bike all the time. And I remember seeing people park their cars just off that little like roadway right on Elvis. And then they you know, get out and walk over from, because they didn't want to pay for parking, because why the hell would you be charged for parking at your own university where you're already paying tuition?
Yeah.
So dumb. So dumb. But yeah, so I spent 3 years at DVC, transferred to Sac State, and with much begrudgingness, I don't know. I spent another 3 years at Sac State. I was kind of pissed because I wanted to spend 2 years, but I ended up having to spend three because my senior semester, I was working two jobs. And I had a full load and I just couldn't do it. So I dropped a class. I dropped one class. So I had to take, so spring 2021? No. Yeah, spring 2021. Really? Was it a year ago?
Yeah.
I want to check my diploma now. yeah, it must have been spring 2021. I took one class. And I cannot tell you how annoying it was to have, like, be taking one class in a semester. Because it's one of those things where I felt like I had graduated because I'd already finished my senior capstone project. I had finished all these other requirements. There's just one last class I had to take. And it was like Tuesday, Thursday at like 2 p.m. online. And so I'd literally be at work going, oh, hold on, I got to take an hour break to go to class. Sorry. And I just would like constantly forget that I had a class. And I was just so mad too, because it was supposed to, the teacher was supposed to be one of the better teachers in the program. But because it was online, I didn't really get to experience him as an instructor. I just got to experience the videos he'd recorded 2 years ago for when he was sick, you know. So it wasn't even really like him as an instructor. It was just him, you know, recording his previous recordings. Mm. Just kind of like annoyed. And one of the things, though, I remember thinking was super funny was like towards the tail end of that semester, his videos started, like, his voice started to sound deeper. Like, he'd edited the audio to make his voice deeper. And I was so confused because I was like, the only way I'd believe this is like if you had sped up all the other videos. But the other videos were definitely recorded at a normal speed. So you're obviously editing your voice to sound deeper. Why the hell are you doing that? Like, I've been dealing with you as an instructor all semester. Like, I know what you sound like. And this sounds just a pitch different, deeper. Are you insecure about your voice, my guy? Like,
he probably finally like listened to a playback.
He's like, oh, my voice is so high. I sound like a girl. I better pitch depth this or whatever. I'm like, okay, man, like, you do you. I don't get it, but sure. God, there was, I took a winter class going into the spring semester of 2020. And I had, his name is Kenneth Sprott, Dr. Ken Sprott. And he was the epitome of I don't care teacher. And I loved it. Should I have loved it as a student who's paying Sac State prices? Probably. Sac State was stupid cheap. But if I was like a hardy engineer going, I have to be the most prepared going into the workforce, probably shouldn't have been happy. But he was great. For example, one of his classes, he just kind of said, show up and you'll pass, which for an upper division engineering course, probably should not be the case. Show up and pass. But anyway, I took a class over winter in going from, you know, December, January 2020, December 19 and December 2020. And it was about fatigue and failure analysis, which on the surface seems super complicated. But if you think about it, it's actually kind of interesting because it talks about how things break, why things break, how to predict when things will break. You know, it's about cyclical use. Like, the best way I can describe it is your arm is a joint, right? Mm-hmm. So like, it's going to move at, like, I can move my elbow like back, you know, at that point in my elbow, and those bones are moving. And at one point, those bones can only move for so much before, you know, something breaks. And that's, there are instances that will be like have an infinite lifespan because the pressure or the use of it is below any like kind of fatigue cycle. But yeah. Most things, if you bend it enough, it'll break. Think about it like with a sheet of paper when you're folding it. If you fold it enough times, the paper will tear beautifully. You know, that's how most people would recommend you tear a piece of paper without a pair of scissors, is just bending it along. And that's because its cycle is significantly less to the point where it'll break a lot sooner than it will later, which is actually really fascinating, except because I took it with the teacher who says, show up and you pass, he gave a really watered down version of it. And I also learned that one of the job requirements to be a professor teaching any kind of engineering is you have to be an alcoholic. And that's because I remember he showed up to class. So because it was a winter class, sorry, I keep delaying how long the story actually needs to be. It really has to be really short, but I'm just going into it.
Yeah. You do, man.
He shows up to class 30 minutes late. It was because it was a winter class. It was like a 4-hour class in the morning. So he shows up about a half an hour late. And then he cuts class an hour, maybe an hour and a half early. So at like 11:30 a.m., he's like, I'm tired of talking and I need a beer. So we're done. And I remember, I don't know if it was me or someone else in the class who went at 11 a.m. He's like, yeah, it's Friday. See you guys next week. And we're all like, sure, okay, like we'll go to a bookstore, like if you're together, like we could all go. It was just so surreal to watch my professor call class early on a Friday under the guise of I want a beer at 11:30 in the morning. And what's even crazier was that wasn't even the first time a professor had said, I need a beer, or at least alluded to alcohol during a lecture. About a year prior, I was doing one of the intro engineering classes that I just transferred, and the professor was going over what he did for his PhD study lecture, thesis, whatever. He was basically talking about the molecular structure of aluminum when you put it into a big crusher, you know, like how you crush things and see how all the atoms move and whatever. I guess it was interesting. I don't really remember. It was like 4 years ago. But 4 years ago, that's crazy. But he was talking about how, like, yeah, man, I went to the University of Philadelphia to like use their lab. Like he was studying in like Davis or Berkeley or something. And he got flown out to Philadelphia to use the labs at that school. And he said, yeah, we were crushing aluminum cylinders. They're about the size of a 40. And then realized that he just made an alcohol joke to a class that's mostly freshmen because, you know, it's entry-level engineering class. You see, he said, about the size of a 40, a can of tea, like as if he very quickly tried to think of a similar sized can that was not alcohol. And I remember just sitting there like, bro, did you really just backpedal yourself? Like, full send it. These kids are going to drink anyway. You're not going to influence it, right? This is the same professor who had us, as a final assignment for that class, had us do research on put us into groups and had us do a research on various companies and how they do engineering stuff. So, you know, we had classes doing NASA, or we had students groups doing NASA or JPL or Aerojet, you know, all those ones. And they were doing, one of the groups got some kind of 3D printer that used lasers and like metal dust to 3D print, which is super cool. Like you basically lay a layer of metal dust down and the laser just melts it all together and does that layer by layer. Very similar to the plastic 3D printing, just with dust and lasers instead of hot plastic. So pretty neat. But anyway, this Professor Vogt, V-O-G-T, I don't know how to pronounce that, even though I had him for like four classes. Everyone just called him Rustin. So Rustin, he was asking, you know, this presenter about the company, and he was like, yeah, so if we wanted to get one of these 3D printers for the school here, like how much would that cost? And the student, without missing a beat, looks at him and says, if you have to ask, you can't afford it. But I was just like, bro, straight balls to say that to your instructor. What? I mean, clearly the student didn't know how much it cost. But it was so funny to watch him come up with that like information instead. Fast forward, like, what is that, 2 years, 3 years later, I'm in my senior capstone project. And the senior capstone project was super dope. We basically got to pick something, anything, and build it. So, like, we had to essentially present an idea, be it a machine that puts your pants on for you, or a search and rescue drone that will identify, you know, scan, you know, 30 square miles of wilderness and be able to identify a missing person, or, you know, this whole, like, literally this whole thing of do whatever you wanted to do just for the sake of doing it. A lot of people would pick something pretty boring, in my opinion, pretty boring, because they could market it towards a company that might hire them after they graduate. So you could, like, that's also a totally viable thing. Like, people were doing speakers that are waterproof, or like some kind of machine that withstand really high pressures and when it's put underwater. Like, there was a lot of like company interesting stuff, but for me personally, I thought that was super boring. So what I convinced my group to do was to convert my Volkswagen Super Beetle into an electric vehicle using a Nissan Leaf engine. It was supposed to be dope. And I remember we had gotten about halfway through the semester when COVID hit. I was doing I was beginning my senior capstone project spring 2020. And we were about halfway through the theory. So basically the first part one of the senior capstone project was prove you can do what you want to do. And second semester was, all right, now do it. So I remember going through talking to our advisor, which was Rustin, and we're like, yeah, no, we want to convert the Volkswagen Beetle, an old Beetle, into a super electric vehicle. And he's like, oh, nice, nice. And he goes, whose Beetle is it? I'm like, mine. He goes, cool. When it doesn't work, how much do you want for it? And I was like, You think that first off, I volunteered my car to something that'll fail. And secondly, you count on me wanting to sell it when it's done? Bro, And I think the most he offered me was, all right, $800. I'm like, $800?
No.
Bro, I bought that thing for $4,000. I don't care how old it is and how much I have to mutilate it to make an electric vehicle. I'm not selling it to you for $800. What? I was like, I have sentimental value attached to this car. I'm about to use it to try to graduate. Like, get the hell out of here, bro. Oh, man. But luckily, I didn't have to mutilate it. Because COVID said, you're not going to do anything. All the distributors for all the parts we needed shut down with COVID. And so the most we did was we used a piece of wood to drill holes into it to say, all right, this piece of wood would, in theory, be made out of metal. And we used this piece of wood / metal to mount the Nissan Leaf motor to the Volkswagen transmission. And that's all we did in terms of manufacturing. Kind of sad, but
amazing.
I just couldn't get over the fact that this professor... Sorry?
I mean, it does save your car a little bit longer.
Yeah. What was super funny was, so that... I finished my capstone project, December 2020. And by January 2021, I'd gotten broken up with. And so in my flurry of, I need to get over this girl, I fixed the bug. Because it had a bad engine. That's why I offered it up to be used for the project. It was because it already wasn't running. So worst thing that happens is it still doesn't run, but now there's holes in it. So I was totally fine, you know, chalking it up. But then, you know, project didn't happen. And then a girl, you know, broke up with me, so I was sad. So I was like, I'm going to make it run. Make people regret breaking up with me. I don't think that actually happened. Like, I don't think it happened on her end, but I got a working car out of it. So I did drop like $600 or $700 to get it running again. But I did. And if you're wondering, Dominic, no, it still doesn't run.
Aww.
It's I don't know. Like, I know a lot of people would be like, Sam, that's a money pit. That's a car that doesn't need to be kept. And I'm like, well, yes and no. Like, will it ever be a daily driver? No. But it shouldn't be. It's a 52, 51-year-old car. That shouldn't be on the road every day.
No.
Or at least not driven on the highways to work and back every morning. But is it something that, you know, if I want a cold beer on a Friday night and work on a car? Absolutely. It's a project car. That's what it should be.
Yeah.
And so if that means that it sits in the driveway for a couple months before moving, that's just how it is. But it's an older car. It's supposed to be kind of, you know, a hobby. And that's exactly what it is. And I'm totally satisfied with that. As long as I have a place to park it, I'm keeping it.
Yeah. It would have been cool if you did turn into an electric car, because that would have been dope. But I mean, it is what it is. Maybe it worked out for the best.
Yeah. I was very like bummed when it didn't work out, because I was super excited at the thought of having me and my team drive the thing silently into the senior fair, the engineering showcase. You know, everyone else with their drones that fund people in the forest, and machines that put your pants on for you, and hand trucks that climb stairs, and we roll up in a little yellow bug, you know, five of us all pile out of this little car. We're like, it's electric, and it wasn't before. It was from 1971, and now it's 2020, baby. But that, yeah, would have been the dream, but that ended up not happening. Oh my gosh. So I mentioned that I had to drop a class.
Mm-hmm.
That fall. So I took that fall, I was working two jobs and taking like three or four classes, or might have been four or five classes. So I had to drop one, take it in the spring. But that second job I was working was the most garbage job I've ever worked. Oh my Lord. It was for one of my buddies. I lived with him at the time. That was his, after he graduated from Sac State with his degree, he got hired on there, which seems like it'd be a pretty good deal if the company's straight out hiring an engineer, right? Well, my buddy was paid like $19 an hour with no benefits, with a degree, with a job title, and the degree and the experience of a mechanical engineer, which is straight garbage for a fresh out of college job.
Yeah.
And the boss man was, what is the general rating on this podcast? I don't want to start being rude. Oh, I have a timer that says 6.75 minutes left. Is that a problem?
Yes, it seems that that's going to be a problem. Well, the boss is a dick, so no one will notice that we'll be away for a second, but let's switch to something else then if Zoom is going to kick us off.
Yeah, sure. Do you want to do FaceTime then, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. I'll grab my AirPods and I'll just log out now really quick. Hold on.
Yep. And it's just me. As we wait for the FaceTime. FaceTime. Should I cut this out? There we go.
Wow. Seamless.
Exactly. I'm cutting nothing out.
Hey, you know, it's the fun chaos. Yeah, so Boss was a dickhead, just to put plainly. And you're thinking, Sam, how could he have been a dickhead? Well, I'm going to give the best description, or more like this, is that more cinematic? The best anecdote I can give about this man being a dickhead has to come in this business exchange he had. So his company was a telescope manufacturing accessory company. So he didn't make telescopes. He made like the gimbals you put your telescope on, or he'd make cases and mounts and different contraptions to add on to the telescope. And to be quite frank, he had a monopoly on that industry. Like, he was like the only one who made those parts for telescopes, or for certain telescopes. I don't quite remember. But he had a deal with some other company that they'd essentially worked together while still being separate companies. And they'd been doing it for years at that point. And Bossman, the other company slighted him. I don't know if he sent him bad parts or he shorted him. I think like $1,700, which, you know, to us poor men, is a lot of money, $1,700. But to a guy who owns like three companies and, you know, has a monopoly on an industry, that's a drop in the bucket. And you're thinking, well, Sam, you can't say that. Business is business. There could still be like, that could still be a lot of money to him. I would, you know, wish that I could admit that could be a thing, except for the fact that my old boss turned around and bought the man's company. Huh. He bought the dude's company, then changed the part. So this guy who started him couldn't start another company and still, you know, making the same part. All because his old business partner shorted him like $1,700. And I'm like, dude, that is such a cold-hearted thing to do. Just off of the fact that a dude, you know, talking out my guy. And the other thing that really like sealed his fate as I don't want to work for you anymore was my roommate, the guy who got me the job there. And my position was essentially a night shift guy, where I just walked around the facility pressing the go button on all the machines to keep making new parts. So I just worked alone for like, you know, 4 or 5 hours at a time, which was nice at first, but the charm really quickly, you know, wore off. And suddenly I was getting home at like 10 or 11 o'clock on a Monday or Tuesday night. And I just wanted to not be there all night. And so my buddy who got me a job there, he got married while he was working there. And Bossman, you know, had known my roommate for a little bit longer than I'd known Bossman. And the Bossman knew that my roommate really liked making stuff out of the packing foam. And so as a wedding gift, he gave my roommate a ton of wedding foam. Oh, yes. And just to be clear, yes, I did live with my roommate and his wife for almost an entire lease, a newlywed couple for almost a year. It was different. Anyway, so yeah, they gifted him a ton of foam. And you're thinking, okay, well, if I'm living with a new married couple, odds are our place wasn't very big. It wasn't. It was a 3-bedroom apartment in South Sac. And so they're like, oh, you can just leave the foam here. Like, we'll set it aside so we won't use it. And you can just come and use the pile whenever you want, when you want to make something cool or whatever. And my roommate was like, dope, sick. Thank you for all the foam. And they're like, yeah, man, happy wedding. Live long and prosper, whatever wedding phrase you want to tell them. And then like flash forward like into, you know, a week or two, you know, the gift being given. And Billy, my roommate, is like, hey, why are you using my foam? And one of his coworkers is like, oh yeah, sorry, Bossman said we needed to use it because we ran out of our own foam. And Bill was just like, what do you mean you ran out of your own foam, so you're using mine? You gave it to me. You can't just take it back. And so when Billy went to confront Bossman, Bossman said, yeah, man, we needed it for the greater good. And you're just like, you're going to go take these backsies on a wedding gift? My guy. So my roommate quit. And my roommate's like, yeah, man, don't quit the right same time as me. I don't look like I don't want it to look like that you're leaving because I'm leaving. And I'm like, bro, that's exactly why I'm leaving. Because I'm tired of this dude's shit. And so I waited like a week just to have my buddy have some face, and I quit. Because I'm like, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And that was the worst job I've ever had. As of now, I'm working at it as a handyman for We Do Odd Jobs. I'm still wearing my work shirt.
Nice.
Covered in holes, because Odd Jobs takes you to wild places, my guy. I am also still living in Sac, so if Matthew ever wants to get a beer, have him hit me up.
Will do. You hear that, Matthew? Wherever you are in Sacramento.
I am also in Sacramento in a place that's also like 10 minutes from downtown. Who knows? He could be my neighbor, and I just haven't realized it.
Yeah, imagine you both walk out whatever place you're
in. One morning, just, morning, neighbor. Huh? You think? Yeah, you saw my brother just got married. He also went to Sac State. He got his degree in film production. And you're thinking, wow, Sam with his degree in mechanical engineering, that's crazy. He ended up being a handyman. What's Jonathan doing with his degree in film? Crazy enough, he's also a handyman. We work together.
Nice. I mean, things just work out that way, you know?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is one of my current roommates, he also went to Sac State for film production, actually graduated the same time my brother did. He's working for a studio that makes TV shows for Nickelodeon. I'm hoping that maybe my brother will reach out to him and be like, hey, man, let me get into this film stuff, because my brother's really good at that, at cinematography.
Yeah.
Like, the man is quite gifted with it. I don't know how much of his stuff you've seen.
I know.
At least since college.
In college, I know you've shown his stuff. And he's incredible at it. So I think someone needs to give him that shot.
Yeah, I know. He has been doing weddings lately, which is super fun because he's brought people to tears with his wedding videos. And I was like, okay, that's a good start, but let's get you in the big screen, huh, bud?
Yeah, no, there are companies out there that do like the wedding photography and videography that he could at least start off with and get paid doing that more. And then use that to make reels and such to send to these various companies or studios.
That might be a good plan. So last time I remember hearing about you, you were going to SFSU. So did you finish there?
I finished in December of 2018. I got my degree in cinema. And then I still continued working at a car dealership, then picked up a job with the Giants. And I worked two jobs when the Giants were in season. And my thought process was, like, if I get like a job in like film or TV or whatever, it'll come when it comes. Like, I'm not too worried.
Yeah.
Because, like, my thought process at the time is, like, I need to make some money, so these two jobs is what I need to do right now.
Fair enough.
And then once the pandemic hit, it was kind of like a shift in the better. Because a lot of things went wrong with the pandemic, but it was, like, gave me free time I hadn't had since high school.
Where I
had nothing to do. So I'm like, the first week it was, like, weird, because, like, I just laid in my bed. I'm like, I have nothing to do. It was so surreal, really.
Yeah.
And then it came to the point where I'm like, I want to start YouTube again. Because, like, we did, like, the What If Productions for high school. That page is still up. If you want to find it, I'm not putting it out there. If you find it, anyone who's listening.
Boxy, B-O-X-X-Y, What If Productions, starring Sam Stevens and Joe Bradley. Joe Bradley has deserted that project. Oh,
that's still my favorite project.
It was so much fun. My favorite thing about that film, looking back on it, if when you're gonna look at me like, Sam, are you stupid? Because I didn't realize until maybe in the last 4 or 5 years, going, wow, me and Joe look like a gay couple. Which, again, there's nothing wrong with that, but that is not what we were going for at the time.
No.
And looking back on it now, and again, it took me until within the last 5 years to go, oh man, me and Joe look like we're a gay couple. That just hit me within the last 5 years. We made that film almost 8 years ago. Oh man, yeah. So,
because that wasn't our thought process at all. It wasn't even in the back of our heads. We just were making fun video.
We were just being stupid all the whole time. And I look at that film with such fond memories. And my favorite part is whenever you bring it up to Joe, Joe wants nothing more than to change the subject.
Really?
He's just like, the video wasn't very good. And he goes, I spent so much time like doing stuff for that. And he said, my favorite line that he says almost word for word every time is, I've wasted hours of my life showing people that video that I will never get back. And I think Joe just doesn't like rewatching it.
That's fair. Because
we would have, it's totally fair. But as someone who likes to be proud of my doings, I like, especially right after we made it, I was so happy to show it off to people. And so me and Joe were really close back then. So we'd have party after party where he'd be invited. And there'd be one or two new people amongst a party of like 12 or 13. So, you know, everyone else had also already seen the video. We'd be like, you're new. You haven't seen this. Sit down, let's watch it. And everyone's like, oh, no, not again.
That would explain why it has over 100 views. Because I remember when I posted, I'm like, this is not going to get anything besides people in class. I'm like, how did it get to 100?
Because I showed it off so much.
I need to rewatch. I haven't watched it in a couple of years. It was such a fun time making it. And I loved how, every film, because, back then, I was so shy to go anywhere else. Every film was just filmed in my house.
Yeah, and I remember you guys used to bully me because I wanted to go somewhere else.
I know, and I apologize for that. It was just one of those things where, I felt comfortable. I didn't want to really go out, but, yeah.
It's good, my guy. Oh, man. I also will never forget the weird, I remember I kind of joined your guys' group a little bit late to the game. So you and Ethan and Joe had already really had a niche. It already kind of settled into your groove about how you're going to do it. You were going to do this, that. You had all these inside jokes that I had no idea. And I remember me and Cameron joining a little bit late. And Cameron, he was just there to pass the class. He didn't really care. He kind of just do whatever you told him to do. But I was like, oh, yeah, let's do this and that. And da, da, da. And you guys were like, nah, man, quit rocking the boat. And one of the gags, the two gags that I caught on to that I didn't understand was how, your weird obsession with having product placement everywhere. you insisted, okay, now hold the can so you can read the Fanta very clearly. I'd be like, why? We're in high school. We're not going to get any endorsements. It's just going to get copywritten when we post it. What? And the second thing, which I think was unique to me, was that you would purposefully put in scenes for me to drink and then insist on having me drink for a continuous 17 seconds. And of course, you have that
hello
camera.
What, one, ready one second.
To tell me it's been 17
seconds. What's up? No, thank you. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Sorry, they're asking if I wanted
to. Wait, what if I want something? What if I wanted something from I Love Teriyaki?
Well, then you'd have to come down here. I ain't bringing it up.
I'll just DoorDash it. It's fine. How'd you end up in SoCal when you were working for the Giants?
So, yeah, pandemic hit. I started YouTube again. I do Let's Plays now.
Okay.
And podcasting as what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, my plan was to never come down here. That was my plan. I was going to find something to do back home and just make stuff on my own because that's what I like doing.
Yeah.
And then randomly one time out to dinner and I get a call from, do you remember Matthew Markley?
I recognize the name but can't picture the face.
That's okay. I get a random call from him that I haven't heard from him in a year or two. And he's like, hey, my job is hiring. You should apply. I'm like, where's that? He's like, oh, it's in Hollywood. I'm like, why not? He gave me the whole what they do and everything and sold me on it. And so I applied. Yeah. And at first I didn't get it, which I totally understood. And then they offered me the job a few months later. And there was some scheduling conflicts, so I didn't officially sign on until earlier this year in the last week of January.
Yeah. Wow.
So I moved down to El Segundo because that's where my brother Chris was at, since he moved down here already.
Sir K.
And so, yeah, I moved in with him and I've been here ever since, just working, doing dailies for a post-production house. And if you don't know what dailies is, it's basically, we receive video and audio and various things from a television series and we sync the sound and video and we just get everything ready for the editorial team and send it their way. So,
all right.
So, my best analogy for it is that, we're the little elves that help make the shoes, the shoe store.
Gotcha. That's really cool, though. I mean, the opportunity nonetheless. And so, for being in La Segunda, how far are you from San Diego proper then, in that case?
About an hour, 15 to hour and a half drive, depending on traffic.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, no, I haven't gone down to San Diego yet from here. I've been to San Diego, but like not while I was living here, not yet.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, but me and my brother and then my other roommate were like, we should go to a Padres game one of these weekends.
Oh, that'd be fun. That'd be really fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. So, man, it's so weird how one-off phone calls will send you to some random places, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I was in community college, I volunteered at his church, and the worship pastor of the church asked me, hey, man, I need help with a side gig. Do you want to make some money? And I was like, yeah, sure. And that was back in like 2017. And that side gig was, maybe you had this in college, maybe you didn't. On the dorms, there'd be a company that would lease mini fridges to college students. So some students could have a mini fridge in their dorm room. And that company needed people to, you know, bring the fridges to students and take the fridges out of the rooms after the school year ended so they could, you know, rinse and repeat the cycle. And that was what my buddy asked me to help out with, was to move these fridges from campus to a storage unit at the end of the year, and then from storage back to campus at the beginning of the year to the new students. And that's what he asked me to do. And I think the first time I did it was for like St. Mary's, or I think I did UCSF. UC. There's so many schools in San Francisco,
because
there's SFSU, then there's UCSF, right?
Yeah, there's USF.
And then there's USF.
And then you got...
There's more than just those three?
There's also Community College of San Francisco, and then there's probably a third or... No, not third, but like a fourth and a fifth one.
That's crazy, yeah. But so I did... Actually, I think I might have done all three. I might have done USF, SFSU, and USF. But after a while, that guy, that buddy of mine, moved to Arizona, and so all of his schools I got to do.
Hmm.
I remember in 2019, I was doing Chico State with my buddy's brother-in-law. And that brother-in-law was like, yeah, man, I'm putting together a crew to go to University of Alabama in like a month or two. You want to go? And so suddenly I was fridging in Alabama.
That's a sentence.
It is a sentence. Oh, man, I'll tell you, Alabama, even looking back, that was, what, 3 years ago this summer, was the one of the wildest experiences I've had, was experiencing Alabama in an entirely blue-collar setting. You know, because I wasn't on vacation. So I wasn't, you know, going to see all the sites. I wasn't on vacation mode. I was there for work. And so I'm interacting with people who are also live there, and they just work on campus, or they work in the area. And so I got to see, you know, how just the average person in Alabama lived. Man, I have been on a high ever since to find the same vibe of sweet tea. And no state, no restaurant that I've been to since Alabama makes sweet tea the same way.
Hmm.
And it's a high I will never achieve again.
Hmm.
I don't know what they did to the tea in Alabama, but their sweet tea was so good. And I think the closest I can get to it is the Chick-fil-A around the corner from my house. That is the closest. Huh. And I'm not saying that Chick-fil-A's sweet tea. No. Just that Chick-fil-A sweet tea.
Okay, so you tried like other ones?
And none of them hit the same. And this is the closest one, and it's still a fraction of what Alabama sweet tea is like. Oh, huh. Dude. I don't know. They like brew it in the sun with gallons of, pounds of sugar, I guess. But,
It sounds like you got to go back.
I got to go back to Alabama. But then, okay, here's the thing, though. Suddenly I go, I need to go back to Alabama. First question, they go, back? So it's like, I gotta like tell them I'm on a quest for sweet tea, like it's a pilgrimage for religion. That's kind of weird. So I'm like, I gotta find a better reason to go to Alabama, because if I'm being totally honest, the Gulf Shores weren't really worth the vacation. Like, it might be nice for locals, but in terms of most vacations, kind of low on the list, I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, but honestly, a quest for the perfect sweet tea does sound like a movie would make.
That would be a fun one. Actually, you'll get a kick out of it. About 2 or 3 years ago, my brother started making an Instagram account called What's Milkshaken. Have you seen that on Instagram yet?
I don't think I have, but I will look it up now.
So yeah, so What's Milkshaken is an Instagram account started by my brother where he goes around and reviews milkshakes. And he has just a real dandy of a time just reviewing milkshakes. And he'll like take requests that people be like, go to this one or go to that one. And he'll go to and try their milkshake and write a review for it on his Instagram. And he hasn't, you know, he's not like a giant, you know, conglomerate of content, but he's gotten featured on a handful of other like Instagram pages. Like one of his recent ones, he visited Black Tap, which is a kind of a big deal restaurant in like LA and New York. And he reviewed one of their milkshakes and his account got reposted, or his review got reposted on their Instagram page.
That's
which,
awesome.
You know, it's super cool. Or when he got married, he and his wife reviewed a shake from Nation's Giant Hamburgers. And then the corporate Nation's account also republished that.
I saw that one. That one I did see.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, it's really cute. And I'm like, dude, if you just opened up, like if he publicized it just a hair more, he could get like a decent following just to drink milkshakes.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying it could be his job. Like he doesn't need to get fat off of drinking milkshakes. But if he just walked up to the cashier, all he has to do is walk up to the front, the cashier and be like, hey, I run an Instagram account where I review milkshakes. What's your best shake?
That's
and then
all he's got to do.
That's because he's like, yeah, I don't want to see like I'm trying to get free milkshakes. I go, you're not asking for your milkshake. You just ask them for their best shake. You say, hey, what's your favorite shake? What's the best shake you have? Suddenly they're going to recommend you a shake. They're going to want to ask what's the name of your page. And so you tell them that and they might follow it or tell their coworkers about it. And you do that at every restaurant you go to when you do a review. Dude, you'll get a following easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can still pay for it. And like they'll try to make him the best shake. Because the like especially yeah. like diners and stuff, like they want to prove like, okay, if this guy has tried this one, they say he's great. We got to up that.
Yeah, so for all the listeners, follow at What's Milk Shaken on Instagram. All one word, no caps, no spaces, no dots, no underscores, one word of What's Milk Shaken. And that is a connoisseur's quest to satiate an impossible satiation.
I know, that's really awesome because like I love going to different places and trying their milkshakes and seeing what like what I think is like, okay, this place is a better milkshake than this place. So this is great content yeah. already that I'm in love with.
Yeah. So if you were curious, the worst shake he's ever had is a restaurant in San Francisco called Big Mouth Burgers and Beer.
I've been by that, but I haven't tried it.
And he said that's the worst shake he's ever had.
Oof.
I went there once or twice, and I actually really liked the restaurant. But Jonathan, he did not care for their shakes. He said it was almost like water that tasted like cigarettes.
Ooh.
And he, that's a pretty scathing review. And it was really funny because I remember when he talked about like the analytics for that page, he'd be like, yeah, man, all my good reviews don't really get high response. But the shakes that do get high responses are the bad ones.
Interesting.
When he writes a scathing review, his followers love it. And of course, he has like 80 followers, so it's not really like a lot. But
he'll get two more after this podcast comes out.
Absolutely. Please do. I'm trying to get him on the big leagues, even though he doesn't really want it, but he needs it. He doesn't realize it yet, but he needs it.
Because like, honestly, if it like grows a little bit more, I feel like places like probably across the country be like, hey, come try ours.
Yeah, that'd be so much fun. Like, he just takes a couple days off work to fly over to, like, you know, Virginia to try some shake at some, you know, podum restaurant. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, pretty good. He gets his name on his wall. He signs it and he goes back to California. Like,
it doesn't take much.
For a shake? Come on.
And is it just on Instagram?
Yeah, just on Instagram.
Okay, because like, I feel like you could do TikTok as well because there's always bigger followings on there. And like, just, it doesn't have to be a full like media review. It could just be him doing like a small little video of going to get the milkshake.
He did record a video that it's not quite done yet, but it's super funny. It was going to be a little like short video series he's going to put on YouTube that he made with him and his college buddy, actually my current roommate, Connor. He and Connor were going to make a video series about his shake reviews, and it was called I Drink Your Milkshake with Jonathan Stevens, which is a direct reference to the film There Will Be Blood with Daniel Day-Lewis. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
So, honestly, dude, I'm going to take a little segue, or not a segue, a little redirect. This movie, dude, incredible. It came out in like 2007, 2008, Daniel Day-Lewis, where he plays a turn-of-the-century oil tycoon. And it's basically the misadventures of Daniel Day-Lewis trying to like build up his empire of oil, and like of all the ups and downs of him trying to, you know, buy land that has oil beneath it. And at the climax of the film, they're discussing, and this is like, I'm like trying to make sure there's absolutely no spoilers to it, but it's like, it's so incredible of a line. and it's taken from history. So essentially, I don't remember what the actual, they take this line of dialogue, and the line of dialogue is, I drink your milkshake. And, it's seepage. That's what the term is called. And so back, you know, in the turn of the 20th century, that's when oil digging was most, you know, at its peak, I suppose. You know, at some point, the Supreme Court had a case. And one of the big oil tycoons of the time, I think the case was in the early 1920s. And they were talking about seepage. And essentially, all the oil rests, you know, underground, right? But if you put, you know, if you go suck all the oil out from underground, it's going to pull all the oil out, not just the oil that's directly beneath it, right? And so the guy, the oil tycoon, in front of the Supreme Court of the U.S. in like 1922 or something, and he basically tells them, like, all right, let's just say that I have a milkshake and you have a milkshake across the room, right? If I take my straw and I put it all the way in your shake way over here, I'm going to drink your milkshake. Said that in front of the Supreme Court in like 1922. So the director for There Will Be Blood thought that line was hysterical and put that line into the climax of the movie. And it's just so funny. Line, I drink your milkshake. And so that's where the name For My Brother's Little Show comes from, is I drink your milkshake.
That's incredible.
Yeah, but I would definitely recommend watching. It's called There Will Be Blood. It's on Netflix. Last time I watched it, at least I watched it probably a couple months ago.
Okay.
But yeah, I would definitely recommend that. But yeah, so that's what he's up to. He did just get married, and that's been weird.
Yeah, congrats to him.
Congrats to my brother Jonathan. Let's make his best wedding dreams come true by getting him famous on Instagram for his milkshake reviews, and then we can put him and his wife to milkshake drinking stardom. I have a sister now. It's weird. I haven't really thought about it since the wedding, but I do have a sister now. yeah, they're it's honestly kind of weird because the only thing that's actually changed is titles. Because, you know, they've been together since high school. I'm sure you vaguely remember him having a girlfriend when you were they weren't dating when you were in high school, because you graduated 2014.
Yeah.
And they didn't get together until 2015.
Okay, so I probably never met her.
Yeah, you probably didn't meet her, but they've been together, you know, their 7-year anniversary of being an item was tail end of May. They got married in the middle of May, and so, you know, but it's wild to say the least, to think that my brother has a wife. And that was the first of 6 weddings for the summer.
Wow.
I have 6 weddings to go to this year. And I'm sure you're thinking, geez, Sam, it's a lot of people you know getting married. Not entirely. Some of them are my girlfriend's friends, so I'm not that bad. I had one of my good friends from college got married this past weekend in Sonoma. And that was kind of surreal because those were friends that I made in college that I met before they got together. Then they got together, kind of watched them through all the phases of their relationship. And then suddenly here I am watching them get married. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. That's really weird. And it's also the second wedding I've been to where I was in the wedding party. And I don't think I've been to one wedding where I wasn't in the wedding party. And it's really weird because I'm in a wedding party, dude. I'm close to enough people to have me be in their wedding. What? That's so weird. It's surreal. But so I have another wedding in 2 weeks. That's wedding number 2. Then in about a month, I have wedding number 4. Then the next day is wedding number 5.
But back
I have
to back?
Last wedding. Dude, so I don't know if you know the geography of the Sacramento area very well. But, you know, you have Sac proper, you know, down like right here or whatever. And then if you keep going east on 80, you'll pass Roseville and Loomis. And if you go, if you take Highway 65 up north, there's Roseville, Rocklin, and Lincoln.
Yeah.
And so I have a wedding on Saturday, July 20-something in Lincoln. And then that Sunday, the next day, I have another wedding in San Luis Obispo.
Huh. Is it a drive?
It is quite a drive. And I'm trying to wonder how the hell we're going to pull it off. Because it's going to be me and the girl, and we're going to have to drive from Lincoln to San Luis Obispo, and you know, 18 hours. I mean, it's not an awful drive. Like, it's not going to be impossible to pull it off. It's just going to be really tiresome to do two weddings back to back, you know, half a state apart, third of the state apart.
Yeah, you're going to have to take turns sleeping and driving.
Something like that. But I'm so excited for it because this is the first time I've actually had a plus one to a wedding. I've had a wedding date, which is super weird. Super weird. How are you, got any prospects on the market, Dominic? Nah. You got any ladies?
Nah, boy. I'm too shy.
You're too shy. Oh, come on, man. You make videos. You got to have some attention.
No, not really. I mean, I haven't really done much, like, because I don't do any internet dating. That just doesn't feel like my thing. So, like, it's weird because college and stuff, like, I would talk to people and such, but nothing really came to be. And then it wasn't until, like, right before the pandemic, it's like, I kind of figured out, like, how did I kind of best represent myself? I'm like, I got this. And then I'm endorsed for a few years. I'm like, I don't got this.
Oh, no.
No, no. I still feel like, my friends say it best. They say I'm blind. Not like love makes me blind. Is that I'm blind to love. Is that, like, if someone were to, like, try to flirt with me, I will not notice. And I'll walk away like, it was nice talking to you. And then, like, it'll be, like, a couple days later, I'm like, wait a minute.
You make a minute. What's what? Oh, no, I missed it again.
And I love seeing, like, when I'm on, like, Instagram and Twitter and, like, people talk about themselves, like, oh, cool, I'm not alone. We could all laugh in the comment section and cry together.
Oh, man. I tried online dating during the pandemic, and it was an experience nonetheless. There were some people that just straight up ghosted me. And I think my favorite story or favorite memory from the people who ghosted me was I used Bumble, which was the dating app where the girl messages first, which seems like a good enough idea. I didn't really think anything of it. I didn't really care. But my roommate came up to me. He's like, hey, man, you should hop in on this like lawsuit that's going on with Bumble and like so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, man, this discrimination lawsuit saying it's discrimination to make it so only the girls can message first on Bumble. And I was like, oh, man, I think his payout was like $80. He got $80 from this class action lawsuit. And I was like, oh, man, I could have gotten $80 from Bumble because I was a man. Oh, no. But this girl messaged me and she was like, hey. And I was like, hello. Like, I said something back. I literally just reciprocated the greeting. And then she never replied to me after that. So I was like, okay, whatever, right? Like, I didn't really think much of it until like a week or two later. A friend of mine invited me to a worship night at someone's house. And it was already really sketch.
Okay, apologies for that.
So when did it cut off?
You know, I probably should have listened back to when it did, but I think it was right when you're talking about going to this worship group.
Yeah,
but if I'm wrong, so you might want to backpedal just a wee bit.
Yeah, sure. I'll backpedal just to the intro of this character. I think her name was like Melissa or something. Matilda, I don't know. So basically, I matched with this girl on Bumble, and she messaged me. She said like, hey or hi. And, you know, I reciprocated the greeting, and then she left me on red. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And I didn't really think much of it until flash forward like 2 or 3 weeks later. A friend of mine invited me to this worship night in, I think, Folsom. And this was in like May, I think. George Floyd had just died, and so like riots and protests and marches were happening across the country. And so Sacramento, being the capital of California, was having its own protests on the Capitol. So cops were on high alert for things, and so the whole like evening was super tense, right? You know, between pandemic and social isolation, as well as, you know, these protests against police brutality. And so I went to this worship night. It was supposed to be like a prayer night to uplift the spirit and to, you know, have God move in whatever way, which way made it work. And I remember, you know, my friend had invited me to go with her because she was uncomfortable going alone because she only knew one person. And she's like, I want to have someone else with me just in case it's weird. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll tag along. Everyone can use more Jesus in their life. And I remember talking to my friend and her friend who was the host. And as I'm talking to the host and my friend Katie, I look up. And there's the girl that left me on red.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God. And I remember I grabbed Katie, my friend, spun her around, and pulled up my phone and showed her, that's the girl that left me on red. And she like looks at the phone, looks at the girl, Oh, I remember just going, oh. And my favorite thing was she had horribly misrepresented herself on Bumble. You know, she used all the right angles and all the right lighting to make herself look a lot different than the way she actually looked. I was like, yo, oh, I'm really glad she didn't message me back because that would have been a bad date. I did not talk to her, and I don't know if she recognized me. And frankly, I don't care. The whole experience was hysterical. It was also the first time that I'd ever heard someone say Daddy God in a prayer where it wasn't unironic or where it wasn't ironic. A man unironically said Daddy God multiple times in a prayer, and boy, was I uncomfortable.
I feel uncomfortable with you saying it.
Yes, it was super uncomfortable. But that was, oh man. That was something else. God.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a handful of, like, I went on a handful of dates on Bumble. And of course, all the dates I did go on ended up being really weird. One girl, she...
I mean, you gotta stop showing them Boxy. I appreciate the views, but I mean, you gotta stop at some point.
Oh, no. Boxy's not a first date video. Boxy's like a third or fourth date video. Come on, man. I have my boundaries. The explosive punch. That's a first date. Explosive punch, the fist in it, or the fisting. So, okay, I heard two conflicting accounts. So the way that I remember the title of Explosive Punch, the fisting, was I remember going to class and you telling O'Reilly that you had to shorten it to fisting. It was supposed to be Explosive Punch, the fistening, like the fist, E-N-I-N-G. But there was not enough space on the title card, so you had to shorten it to fisting. But Joe Bradley told me recently that what happened was he had said fistening, but you had misheard him and just put in fisting instead.
It probably could have gone either way. I don't remember, but I can believe either one. Because there's times where, like, if it didn't fit, yeah, no, I would just shorten it. But I feel like that's something where, like, yeah, no, I would mishear something as well. So both are very liable.
Likeable. Oh man.
No.
Likely.
Likely. That's a word. But yeah, no, because like at the time the joke went over my head, so I didn't think twice of it. It wasn't until like I started rewatching it, Colin's like, wait a minute.
Ninja film the fisting. Oh yeah. That movie was a lot. I remember that film was a lot of fun to make. I remember like just the amount of like really weird special effects that we put in it. As well as the concept as a whole. And I think my favorite thing was the fact that we had this recurring character, Dr. Weenie Puss, you remember?
Yeah.
Ethan as a doctor.
Yeah.
And like the he came from like a fake, was it a movie trailer or something?
Yeah, it was a fake movie trailer about Dr. Weenie Puss. And
he had lost his wife to turbo cancer or something like that. I will still say like turbo cancer in terms of a reference to like a fake disease. I'll just say turbo cancer when I'm talking about illnesses. And of course, no one quite knows what the hell I'm talking about. They just think I'm making up a phrase, but literally no, it comes from the strange case of Dr. Weenie-Puss or something like that.
Something like that.
Well, I don't think it was a curious case of Dr. Weenie-Puss because that would be too close to Benjamin Button. But
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, I have. Yeah. There's just so much. I remember we filmed, like, we had Jonah Adams be, like, the companion for Joe in Explosive Punch, where he played, you know, some special agent whose pee was turned into paralyzing urine or paralyzing serum or whatever.
That's right.
So all he had to do was piss on someone and they'd be paralyzed for, like, 5 minutes. And it's so funny to like remember that and then like see pictures and videos of Jonah now. Because last time I heard from him, like someone mentioned him, he was like full on selling like the worst kind of narcotics. And so I was just like, and I see the pictures of him now, and I don't know if it's super consistent, but I saw one picture of him in Vegas with a couple other high school friends. It was like grills and like green braids, and I'm like, dang. That was an Explosive Punch star I used to know. It looks like, you know, Lindsay Lohan after her first breakdown or something, right?
Dang, I haven't seen him or talked to him since, like, right before the pandemic. So yeah, no, I've not seen this new Joe that's out there.
No, not Joe. Jonah.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Joe. That's weird to picture him. But yeah, no, I haven't seen Jonah since we made that film.
Joe Bradley. Yeah. Not Joe. Joe Bradley? No, I saw Joe Bradley at my brother's wedding. He got last minute invited to my brother's wedding and showed up. And Joe is only different by one metric. He has a beard now.
Interesting.
Besides that, Joe is absolutely the same.
Okay. For a second, I thought you were talking about Joe. I'm like, that's so interesting. No, you're talking about Jonah. Okay.
Joe has a grill. Joe has a grill? Like gold teeth grill? No. Oh, God, no. Joe's way too white for that. You were looking at me like, Sam, I saw Joe recently. He doesn't look anything like that. Like, I don't know, Jonah, Mr. Adams, Mr. Bradley is identical.
Hey, just saying, based off that, me hearing you wrong, I probably heard the fistening wrong then.
Have you had Joe on this podcast yet?
I've been trying to get him on since season one. He hasn't replied to me whatsoever. I don't know if I have the right number anymore, but like...
It should be the same. I think I texted Joe recently, or at least within the last year, I texted Joe and it was the same number.
Yeah.
So he might be... I know he also had like a really rough time with the beginning of the pandemic because he was already kind of an isolationist. And so being told, no, you have to, he kind of really bunkered down being solitude. And so I know he was, that kind of hit him differently. And I think he really does have to force himself to go out. So I'd keep reaching out to him. I almost asked you, hey, we should try to do a double whammy and have me and Joe in the same podcast. But I figured that might be too much for one episode.
I feel like it'd be a 3-hour long, like Joe Rogan episode.
It would just be me and Joe arguing with each other the whole time, too, I guarantee you. But, oh, man, yeah. Hold on, I'm going to make it. Where did it go? Oh, sorry, here. Oh, just kidding. Cool, I was like, oh, my phone just told me it was dying, so I'm going to throw it on the charger really quick. But luckily, it's right here. I have
perfect
the cables. We have the technology.
Yeah, because, like Joe and Ethan, I've been trying to get them on the show. Like, Ethan said yes in season one, but our schedules never worked out.
Yeah.
So, it's one of those things where once he replies to me this time, hopefully, like, we have something that works out. Because like the first two seasons, it was one of those things, like once I recorded, I edited it and then I posted it. With this one, it's like, okay, I'm giving myself a window to record as much as I can, then edit it in a month, and then in that third month, post it like it's an actual like weekly show. Nice. So
there you go. That'd be really cool actually. Dang.
So it has everything together, it's put together, and I don't have to worry about what comes next. I just have to wait till next season.
Gotcha. So the question that I have for you then is, do you know what Cameron is doing?
No.
Because I don't have a clue either. This man, I don't even know what Cameron looks like anymore. I haven't seen him probably since 2018. And he'll post on Snapchat intermittently of him just like in a penthouse in Miami. No context, just the sunsets are beautiful around here. And then a month later, it'll be him back in Vallejo. And I'm like, what? And then a month after that, he'll be, wow, the Big Apple, not quite as big as I thought it would be, from like, you know, the top floor of a skyscraper, and suddenly SoCal just hanging out in a trailer. And I'm just like, what? What does this man do for work that gets him to go to these exotic places? I'm glad
the sense of humor is still the same, but...
Yeah. God. I remember the last time I saw Cameron Key was walking around DVC with those over-the-ear headphones that have the cat ears on top.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, and he was still wearing the same red beanie. And I'm like, okay, bud, glad that you haven't changed a limb. He's exactly the same.
That is crazy, though. Because, like, last time I saw him was probably right before or during, like, when I graduated. I want to say, like, last time I actually, like, had a conversation with him, he was walking home. And I was thinking, it was me and Matthew driving home from high school. And we saw him walking. So, like, hey, we can give you a ride. He said, sure. So he got in and we drove half a block when he got a text that his dad was picking him up. And so we just pulled over. Right there. And then, like, that was, like, I think the last time, like, we were together.
Oh, man, dude. I remember back when I was in community college, his dad was out of town or something. And so his dad had left his like, convertible, like, Sebring or something like that home. And so Cameron was like, hey, bro, you want to go get some In-N-Out? And I'm like, sure. And so he picks me up from my house. Maybe I went to his house. I don't remember. Either way, I remember being in his dad's convertible, gunning it down I-80 at like 95 miles an hour, and him just full, I don't know if he was like battling demons that night or what, because he was like asking to get pulled over, gunning it down the highway so fast. And I was just like, bro, you good? He's like, yeah, man, you know, just living it up. You know, being between cars. And I'm like, okay. I just ready to get out of the car when we get to In-N-Out because, oh man, you're driving past. Oh man. But that was probably like 4 or 5 years ago now. So I don't quite know. I'm thinking all these places he's going is work related, but I just don't know what he does for work.
I couldn't guess because there's a lot of things that like you travel for work, but like it could be anything.
Yeah. And I keep thinking it's like he'll like post pictures of him at like a construction site. So I'm wondering if it's somehow construction related, like maybe he's in management. Or he just gets plus one to these things. I also can't imagine Cameron working in a you know construction environment because he's such a small guy. You know, like he might have bulked up, but even at his tallest, I think he was like six or five seven. He wasn't very tall.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, who's to say? Maybe he bulked up. I don't know.
Maybe he's 6 foot now.
That would be very intimidating.
It would. I couldn't imagine it.
I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you ever saw the video, but I'm sure O'Reilly had you guys do it. Have you guys do the split film? Do you remember that genre, that movie type he'd have you guys do?
With the split film, which one was that one again?
So, like, basically, your group would make half of the film, then give it to someone else, and you'd get the first half of someone else's film, and you have to finish it?
No, we never did that.
Oh, my gosh. I remember, when I was a senior, we did a split film. And we let one of the guys in our group pick it, and he wanted to make his idea about depression or something like that. And so we made this really gloomy video, really sad, right? And we passed it off for the other group to finish. And the film that we got was about a drug deal. And I remember we had we ended up having the drug deal be a sting. So that when the guy went to go buy the drugs, it ended up being the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, of course, if it's the police, they have to, you know, flash their badges to be like, you're under arrest, kids. We're the police, right? And, you know, one guy pulled out, like, you know, a crummy badge. But Cameron was the other cop. And Cameron pulled out this little, like, 2x3 picture of one of our other friends just deep-throating a hot dog. Like, it was, you know, good ways down his throat. And that was his police badge. It was one of those blink-it-and-you-miss shots. But it's one of those things that's burned into my retinas of Cameron Perry confidently holding out this picture of another friend throwing a hot dog saying, we're the police. You better stop that. Oh, man.
Oh, God. You reminded me because anytime we did any like cop movies, we'd have Joe wear the little cop badge, but it was just a CHP sticker. I also remember somewhere in my room back home.
That's incredible. That was one of the things I always really appreciated about your guys' like film universe you'd created. The What If CU, the WICU was how much you guys already had things connected. Like I remember you had this one ball cap and it had the SF Giants logo and then right next to it was like PD. And I think you guys called it the San Fran Diego Police Department.
Yes.
That's the name of what you called it. And that to me is on par with Baymax. What was the name of that movie?
Big Hero 6? Oh, the San Francisco.
Big Hero 6. San Francisco, yeah. Like, whenever I hear San Francisco, I go, that's not a good name. You know what a good name is? San Fran Diego. That's a good name. Oh, man. Yeah, I think about that at least once a month. Like, I do routinely go, San Fran Diego, what a name. That just pops into my head and leaves for next month. It happens so often. It's honestly really funny. Oh my god!
It's funny because you joined on later. So you were there when we made like the more like I don't want to say big budget films, but we went like more like we kind of yeah we had our niche. We knew what we were doing. We were gunning for it because like the ones that keep up back in my head was the early day ones where like it was year one and we had no idea what we were doing. We were just making stuff up and being with since I work with Matthew Markley now, he was part of that at first for a couple of them. And I always bring it up saying, hey, I can show the coworkers this. He's like, never do that. Cause it's so stupid and funny. Man. And I just hold that not like over his head or like blackmail or anything, but just as a joke, like, How do you think they feel about this film? They're like, no.
God, I will do that to my brother because, you know, he, what's super funny to me and it's super humbling when he talks about it is he will mention about how when he was in high school, he really didn't know what he wanted to do. He was just kind of in high school to be in high school, especially and when you asked him outside of like, hey, man, what do you want to do when you graduate? He kind of go, I don't know, something. And then he saw how much fun that we were having making our films, you know, us running around with a camera, slaving over, you know, ProPresenter or not ProPresenter. What was the name of the software we used? I don't remember.
Oh, it was just iMovie.
After Effects. iMovie. Was it iMovie? Shoot.
Yeah, no, well, I use iMovie.
You see us working on it. And love it. iMovie. God. But he saw how much fun we were using, how much fun we were having doing that. And so he took film his senior year, and he had so much fun doing it senior year that he made it his degree. But he went to Sac State and got a degree in film production.
That's amazing.
And then he puts out these incredible films. Like, I think you saw his basketball film, right? The one with the kid.
Yeah.
That was Sneakerhead.
Yeah.
Put on Sneakerhead by 934 Studios. If you want to look it up on YouTube for the listeners. 934 Studios, Sneakerhead. He made that film as a senior, like not a senior, but I guess this is his semester-long project was there for that film. And for him to be like, make that film, show that film off, and watch the incredible reception that it got. Like, I think the first time they showed it, my brother filmed the last minute just to get the crowd reaction when the film ends. And they got such a, like, I don't think it was a standing ovation, but they got such a large crowd reaction that Jonathan will show me that video again, and I still get chills watching all the crowd stand up. And for him to turn and go, yeah, man, you and your friends in high school really made me think it'd be worth my time, so I did it. And to be like, you're telling me our stupid film about me and Joe adopting a box as a pet led you to make this film that everyone said could go to Sundance if you really tried. Like, are you kidding me, dude? So
that's amazing. And like,
it's, yeah,
that's kind of how I got my current job, because with Berkeley, because I always thank him, like, thank you for like offering me the chance to apply to this job. He's like, well, yeah, no, because like, thanks to me and like our stupid films, he got into film as well.
Yeah.
So it's just weird how like kind of our stupidness has inspired people and like how that's working out.
Yeah. And it's definitely is really humbling too.
That's
going to
be the title of this episode.
Stupid films.
How stupid films inspired.
Yeah, honestly, it should be. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's weird to know that we already have a legacy despite being super young. And it's really is this domino effect of Dominic Domino. Anyway.
Oh my God, Cameron called me Domino so many times. Dominoes.
God, yeah. Just all the little things that we do that we don't quite realize has an impact on people. It always inspires me. Because you don't always get to know the ways you bless people. So, like, that's why, like, if I'm talking to, like, if I get the chance to tell someone that they inspired me, I tell them because you don't always get to know when people aren't, when you bless people. And so, it's like, if I can tell someone that they did, I'm going to, just because that's something that you don't get to know. And you really cherish those memories of being told that you inspired or you showed someone or you changed someone's mind, you know? Hmm. So, yeah, and it's. It's cool. I don't know. Maybe I'm biased.
No, that makes total sense. I don't do that enough, I think.
Yeah. And like another thing that I'm trying to do, and honestly, it's been super discouraging just how it's been going lately, but I was trying to make a habit of texting people when I thought of them. You know, where, you know, I'd have a friend pop into my head that I hadn't spoken to in X years or months, and I'd just shoot him text. Hey, man, I thought of you. Hope you're doing well. You know, just something to let them know that I'm thinking of them, you know. And at first, the first few people I texted, they were like, oh my gosh, how are you doing? This made my day, da da da. And then the last, like, couple weeks I spent doing it, I just got no replies whatsoever. And it really just took it out of me.
Hey, that's
like,
okay,
maybe it's, yeah, and it's weird because I should pick it back up, but it's been like a month or so since I've done it. But it's just like, yeah, like people I hadn't seen and used to see, you know, every day or every week or every, you know, I see consistently I haven't seen in forever. And so to be able to tell someone, hey, I hope you're doing well. I haven't talked, like, I don't see you very often. I really don't know if I'll ever see you again, but I hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
It's super surreal too. Cause you know, you're getting close to your 10-year, you're what, 2 years out from a 10-year high school reunion.
Oh my God. Oh my
God. And I'm 7 years out. Yeah. And what's super weird is those, like, the thought of me going to a high school reunion, I'm totally down. I think it would be awesome. I think it'd be so much fun.
Yeah.
I've had friends that say, I don't want anything to do with any of those people ever again. I'm like, okay, well, you'd be bitter and mad about something that was done when we were kids. And I'm super excited to go see how everyone's grown and changed in the last 10 years. And it's weird to me to consider how many people I haven't seen since high school and how many people I haven't, like, I will never see again that I went to high school with. Like, how the world is so big, and it's kind of, it's easy really to know, you know, put your blinders on and not see anything besides your niche, your circle, to know that, like, there are people who you used to see daily or interact with daily that you will never see again. You've said your last word to them, and one of you, and you will die. Someone will die before you have the opportunity to cross paths again. And that's absolutely mind blowing to me.
Yeah, no, it's
that I've said my last words to people, you know?
No, I know exactly what you mean. Cause like the texting people, like, who you haven't talked to a while, that's what I started doing. Like at the beginning of the pandemic, I would just say, hey, I hope you're doing well, blah, blah, blah. It'd be weird getting those responses. And then it kind of turned into this podcast where, like, reach out to old friends, see how they're doing in life. That's basically the summary of this whole thing. And yeah, no, the idea of, like, you don't know when you say your last goodbyes. Cause yeah, about 3 weeks of us right now recording this, a coworker of mine from my previous dealership job, he passed away. And it was one of those things that, like, when I saw that message, I was like, I just talked to him a week ago. And it was so, like, mind boggling and so weird. So yeah, it's like, you never know. And just make sure every interaction, even if it's like, you don't know if it's the last one or anything, just make it a good interaction, you know? And if the previous one was a bad one, absolutely, if there's a chance to make also amends, it's kind of worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, yeah. It gives a new meaning to people, to your interactions with people. Like, I remember being on Instagram and one of my friends who I didn't, I met her at a concert. We just ended up going to a lot of the same concerts together, just like on a whim. Like, I'd be like, oh, hey, you're here. You know, her mom died from COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, damn. Or like, I had another coworker, or not a current, but one of my old jobs. Her mom passed. I don't know if she died of COVID, but she died of something randomly. And just to go, wow. And it's super, super surreal to know someone you interacted with who died. You know, and it wasn't, and it's kind of like your coworker you said, where it's like, you know, I talked to this person recently, and to know they're suddenly not breathing, to know they're not roaming the earth the same way that we are anymore. And, you know, you can subscribe to whatever religion you like, but still the idea of the impermanence of life is still, I don't know, shaking and mind boggling and terrifying, yes, fascinating all at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sorry, getting a little sentimental on you.
Ah, no, it's all good, man.
But yeah, it's so, yeah, like I said at the beginning, all in all this considered, life isn't too bad. Man, I wasn't even meaning to come that full circle, dude. Suddenly it seemed to go that direction of, well, we like a good full circle, don't we?
Yeah, that's peak cinema.
Peak cinema. Dude, I had so much fun writing my brother's best man speech for his wedding. I was super nervous to give it because, you know, you don't know with any wedding, especially when it's a family wedding, you only know half the people there, you know, your family. You don't know the bride's family, or you don't know the groom's family. And so I know what my family's going to laugh at. I know what my friends are going to laugh at. I don't know what the other half is going to laugh at, you know? And so if half the room doesn't laugh, it's going to be really uncomfortable. And I remember, you know, getting the speech, worried, is this joke going to not land? And every joke, at least in my memory, landed beautifully. And I remember being super nervous about it, but man, oh man, was it such a sweet payoff to finally give that speech. And I don't know how much you remember, but I'm a fast talker. Like, I will talk super fast to the point where I need to remember to slow down and enunciate, and especially when I'm nervous. So there I am at Jefferson Street Mansion in scenic Benicia, California, giving a best man speech about my brother at his wedding day. And I'm scared, so nervous to give the speech. And I don't know if I was just drunk enough to not worry about it, or if I was just so ready for this moment that the speech went over beautifully. I was really proud of my delivery. The jokes all landed. No one got offended, and enough people were and it was sentimental enough where people felt something, but they didn't cry. So
that's perfect, man. That's so
yeah. Perfect. And I full circled the speech. That's why I brought up the speech.
Yeah.
Full circled the speech. So you know. That is where that was going. I totally forgot why I brought that up.
That's a perfect full circle, because I know you have to get going soon.
Yes, I do need to get going. It's Taco Tuesday.
Oh.
that's way more or less thing. I have, because this wedding I had last weekend, there were friends that moved to Texas that came for the wedding, and they're leaving, I think, tomorrow morning. So we're giving them a send off dinner when they go back to Texas for another 8-10 months. So that's why it just happens to be Taco Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm not, yeah. I don't know how you usually end your podcast.
It just ends. It's weird.
All right, then I guess you just press end.
No.
There we go.
Yeah.
There's...
Yeah. I just press.
There we go. Yeah. Cool.